morning and welcome to Shattering Myths Radio. As you can probably tell, this is not Yada. Yada is on vacation with his family this week and has asked me to sit in for him on a few shows. Larry's going to sit in for him on a few shows. He may have already, I'm not sure when these are going to air and in what order we are pre-recording. So, by way of introduction, my name is James Bowen, and I was on a few weeks before, sometime in mid-February, Yada had me on to kind of introduce me a little bit, and we discussed my past. So if you're interested, you can listen to that show. I'm joined today by my lovely wife, Patty. Patty, would you say hello?
Hello.
And she's here for moral support as much as anything else, because I am not a public speaker. In fact, I am a technology person, which means I sit in a single room by myself looking at a computer screen most of the day and avoid human interaction. So this is a bit out of my forte. But what I do have is a love of Yah's word and a lot of free time I've spent studying it. So hopefully I bring something to the conversation. When Yada first asked me to do this, we originally intended to do three shows and try and dedicate one each to the upcoming Mikra, Passover, Matzah, and Unleavened Bread. But because of a series of calls on the show and emails that were received, we decided that something that is related and equally as important should be discussed first. And so we're going to dedicate this entire show to a single topic. So there will be no news and review, no current event. We are dedicating it entirely to the topic of circumcision, one of the five terms and conditions of the covenant. So what we're going to do is Yada and I did a show on Blog Talk Radio about 3 years ago on this topic, and what we tried to do there was examine every verse in the Torah of Prophets where Yah mentioned circumcision, so we could get an idea of what Yah's view on circumcision is. And we did a 2.5-hour show on that, I believe, and it was a lot of people found it useful and helpful, so we wanted to kind of update that. And what I did with that one was I went through and found every verse where the word mul, which is the Hebrew word for circumcision, was used. And we examined every one of those verses. Well, something hit me when I was doing my research on this and trying to refresh myself, and that is that there's another word that is related, and that's the word arel, which literally means having foreskin or uncircumcised. And I didn't examine the verses where that was mentioned, so we kind of left that out. Oversight on our part. And I wanted to rectify that with this one. So this time I have every verse where mul is spoken of and every verse where arel is spoken of. So we get an idea of what God's view on circumcision is and what his view on being uncircumcised is. And like I said, I'm not a radio person. And I'm not a writer. So what I'm doing to make this a little more comfortable for myself is I'm having my wife join me, and rather than presenting this like a radio show, what I'm going to try and do is just present it to her like I would whenever I come across something I find interesting in my research. She's the first person I want to go tell it to. So she's the one I asked to join me. And she's going to do pretty much what comes naturally to her, which is listen to what I have to say, challenge me, agree with me, whatever comes to her mind. So that's kind of the presentation we're going to be using for this episode or this show. And I hope you enjoy it and it works. So unless you have something to add, if you want to give a little bit of your background real quick, Patty?
I think I'm okay.
You're okay? For the background, quick, brief background on both of us. I come from an atheist, agnostic point of view. Patty comes from a more religious Christian point of view.
Yes, I suppose I could give them that background. So I grew up in the Lutheran church and very Christian. I wanted to go off and be a missionary and had even thought about joining the convent at one point in my life. So we have very different and opposite backgrounds.
Yes. But what's great about that is the fact that we both examined the same evidence, Yah's Torah, and came to the exact same conclusion coming from such very differing backgrounds. And what was great was we got to do it together. We were coming through all this while we were dating, so it was probably the most frequent topic of conversation we had. So that's our background, and that's where we're coming from. So let's go ahead and jump in. And we find the first time that the word circumcision is mentioned, Yah brings it up in Bereshit, Genesis. And we're going to kind of sneak up on it, and we're going to start with Genesis 17, verse 9. So if anyone wants to follow along, we read, And God Almighty said to Abraham, and as for you, you should continuously and habitually observe, Shamar, you should carefully consider, diligently and consistently paying especially close attention to the details, so that you understand, care about, revere, and are kept preserved by my family-oriented covenant relationship, my Bereth. You and your seed after you, throughout their generations, dwelling places, and eras of time. This one and only Zeb, singular, unique, and specific, family-oriented covenant relationship of mine, Bereth, which relationally you should continuously and habitually observe, Shamar, between me and between you, and between your offspring, following you. You must circumcise, Mul, so shall absolutely cut off and remove the foreskin of the penis. Accordingly, your every male, for them to remember, Zakar, and you shall cut off and separate your foreskin's association with the flesh, and this will exist as a sign to remember, Ola, an example to visually illustrate and explain the symbol and standard, the pledge, insignia, extension, and proof of the miraculous nature of the family-oriented covenant relationship between me and between you. And a son of the eighth day you shall circumcise. You shall cut off and separate his foreskin with regard to every male masculine individual throughout your dwelling places and generations, those naturally born, those naturalized as a member of an extended family in the home, and those really wanting, K-stop, deeply desiring to be acquired and included, Mikna, purchased and obtained from every son of foreign lands, which relationally are not from your seed. He must absolutely circumcise, cutting off the foreskin of his penis, Mul. When, again, something people should know, I'm sure Yada has discussed this many times. When you see a word repeated in Hebrew like this, Mul, it serves to amplify, intensify the meaning and the necessity of something. So he must absolutely be circumcised. Those of the naturally born in your home, and also those really wanting to be, kasap, deeply desiring to be included, mikna, acquired and purchased, as well as those acquired with your money. This shall be my family-oriented covenant relationship, Bereth, in the flesh, serving as an everlasting and an eternal family-oriented covenant relationship. And the uncircumcised, Arel, the stubborn, unresponsive, untrusting, and unreliant, the unlistening and unobserving, the uncut off, the unset apart, and unseparated male, who relationally is not circumcised, Lomul, with regard to the flesh of their foreskin, those souls, now keep in mind, this is nephesh here, souls, not individuals, those souls shall be cut off, be excluded and banished, Karat, shall be severed and cut down from her family by way of association. They have violated and broken, disassociating themselves from my family-oriented covenant relationship, Bereth. So there's the first introduction of the concept of circumcision in Scripture. And there's a few interesting things to point out as we go through this. And one is, if you're reading in any English translation, you're not going to find the words, those really wanting to be, deeply desiring, and strongly yearning to be included. You're not going to find that, and there's a reason. The reason is the Masoretic text was a vocalization of the Hebrew. Now, this wasn't needed, as every word was pronounceable well before then. If you think about it, the idea that God wrote in a language that wasn't pronounceable, when he continuously tells us to read and recite, would make no sense. So the language was pronounceable, but what the Masoretes did when they vocalized it was they narrowed the meaning. Several words have multiple meanings, and what they tried to do was say, well, if you pronounce it this way, it has this meaning, and if you pronounce it that way, it has this meaning. But in reality, in the Hebrew language, without the vowel pointing, the words were identical. And that's what we have with the words K-Stop Mikna. K-Stop, which we translated here as those really wanting to be, deeply desiring, strongly yearning, and passionately longing, is also the Hebrew word for money, silver, or, you know, any type of precious metal. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I found, if you want me to read a new international version of those same verses.
Okay.
That
sounds like a good juxtaposition. Let's see how they translated it.
The 17:9 was where we started. It says, then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
Now, even in an English translation, it's impossible to read that and, in my opinion, come to a conclusion other than circumcision is 100% necessary, which is completely juxtaposed, you know, completely incongruous with Paul's claim that it would do no good. And I hear the music coming in that we're going to a commercial, so we'll pick up here when we return and discuss the K-Stop Mikna. Viewing Prophecy, Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 14, and Yah's position on the topic of circumcision. Patty had just read to us the, was that the New International Version of the translation?
Yes.
Okay, and we were talking about how even there it's almost impossible to come up with a different conclusion than Yah's 100%, you have to be circumcised. Could you come up with another conclusion from that?
No, I would say that probably most Christians would say he was speaking to Abraham, and so being that we were grafted in, I could see them arguing that we weren't descendants of Abraham, and so we don't necessarily have to be circumcised. But that gets into a whole other subject, I suppose.
Well, actually, that's probably the single biggest challenge I hear whenever this topic comes up, is that, you know, this was only speaking to Abraham and his descendants, and since I'm not a descendant of Abraham, it doesn't matter to me. And that actually goes back to what we were examining right before you read that, which is the K-Stop Mikna portion, which is translated in most as purchase with money. And we were talking about, I was talking about how, if you look, K-Stop can mean money, but it can also mean that to really want or to desire or yearn or be passionately longing for something. And the word mikna, which is translated, tends to be translated as acquired, and hence acquired with money, does mean acquired and included. So if you look at K-Stop Mikna and you put it together, you have two choices. It can be those who are acquired with money or those who are really wanting to be acquired, those who are deeply yearning and strongly desiring to be acquired. And you think about it, we were, you know, those of us who are not descendants of Abraham, we were acquired. Yah paid the penalty for us. You know, Yah paid the ransom to redeem us. And it is because we want to be a part of his family that that applies to us. You know, Yah paid the price, and but it doesn't pay for everyone. It only pays for those who want it to count for them. And so that would be those who deeply desire and yearn to be a part of his family. You know, we're not truly born. We are adopted.
So in the New International Version, we would be the foreigner who is bought with money or born in the household or outside.
We would be those who were purchased, who were bought with money. Well, not even bought with money, because, yeah, like I said, we, K-Stop doesn't necessarily mean money. It just means we desire to be purchased. And God purchased.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's where an English translation is a bit beguiling. And it's not the English translation, it's because they're relying on the Masoretic text. But what's even more, reinforces this is Yahweh tells us, and we understand this, that there is but one covenant. Any uncircumcised man who relationally is not circumcised is cut off from the family. Now, does that say any uncircumcised member of Abraham's family? Does that say any uncircumcised Jew, uncircumcised Israeli? No. It says any uncircumcised man who is relationally not circumcised of the flesh, their soul. It's interesting when Yah uses this word soul, nephesh. It didn't say those individuals, those yish, those enosh. There's three or four different words in Hebrew for conveying man or individual. And he wanted to convey that that person shall be cut off from their physical family. Why would he have used soul? He says those souls shall be cut off and excluded and banished. And then we have from her family. And the Hebrew is you, which is a feminine pronoun. So it is her family, not his family. And really being cut off from your physical family isn't that bad sometimes.
And that's interesting because there's not even really a counterpart to that whole last bit there in the New International Version, because it just ends with any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
Yeah. And see, they translate that as they've translated people, which is a valid rendering of Am, which we translated as family or people. In the Hebrew vernacular, it's the same thing. A people or a family. But they completely ignored her. They turned it to his family, didn't they?
His people. Well, in that regard, it's even a lowercase h, which most of the time, if they were talking about God or anything in one of these translations, they would capitalize the h. So
doesn't
really bring the same significant meaning.
Exactly. But the thing is, you is a feminine word. So how can you translate a feminine pronoun as masculine? Here comes the music, so we'll pick up on that when we return. Welcome back to Shattering New. When we left off, we were talking about the fact that the English translation, specifically the one we're referencing is the New International Version, completely changed a feminine pronoun to a masculine one with no basis whatsoever in the translation. And they changed it. The difference is it becomes, we talk about his being cut off from his family, as you pointed out, with the lowercase h, would be his physical family, his mother, his father, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, etc. But when you look at it in terms of her family, which is what is written in the Hebrew, then you're asking, well, wait, how is a male soul being cut off from her family? Well, if you understand Yah's Torah, you know that there is a her in relation to God's family, and that is the set-apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, who is the spiritual mother. Now, tell me, what would you think? Being cut off from your family, that would be pretty bad. You love your mother and your sisters. That's pretty bad, but, is that really a horrible punishment when you consider the alternative being cut off from God's family? If you had to choose one, which would you choose to be cut off from?
Right. Well, obviously you wouldn't want to be cut off from God's family. But it's also interesting in that the significance of how, like, the three doors plays into that with becoming a spiritually and eternal being by being associated with her, with the Ruach HaKodesh. And so to be excluded from that, meaning that at the end you would just die?
Well, yeah. If you're cut off apart from Yah's family, the penalty of sin is, or the consequence of sin is death. And your soul will be dead. And that's not a punishment, it's just natural occurrence.
It is interesting that her is translated there, for sure. So should we move on to the next part?
We can do that. Like I said, the her part gets mistranslated because most translators of English translations don't recognize that there is a feminine aspect to God. whereas they do and they don't like.
Although I don't know how anybody can read Proverbs and think that there's not a feminine aspect to God, but
yeah. He's pretty clear about that. So, moving on, the next time we come across the word for circumcision, which is mul, is in the 21st chapter of Bereshit, and it's not a, we're not going to get too into it because it's not all that in depth. Well, but all we're told is that Abraham followed Yah's instructions and circumcised his son Yitzchak on the eighth day. So, you know, again, we have Abraham following Yahweh's instructions. That's good. And that's, you know, I've always viewed, ever since I started translating myself, particularly. Those who don't know, my project has been, I started with the idea of going through, took all the verses that Yada had translated in Yada Yah and combined them together into the, you know, standard biblical order, so to speak. And then I wanted to do was go through and fill in the gap, translate the verses that he hadn't done. And what I ended up doing was just dropping his verses all together and going through and translating it all myself. And namely, I've been starting at in the beginning, and I'm in Genesis, done roughly 34 chapters at this point. But so Abraham is, I've got to know Abraham's story fairly well, translating it all myself. And to me, Abraham has always been a great example of where we are. You know, Abraham came to know Yah late in his life. He wasn't born into a family that knew Yah. So he came to that. You know, he was given the same terms and conditions of the covenant that we were given and had to choose to embrace them. So to me, he's just a great example to relate to. And so here's a perfect example of relating to it. On the eighth day, he circumcised his son. You know, when Patty and I have children, if we have a male, I will circumcise my son on the eighth day because that is how Yah has asked us to do. That is his instruction. So moving on, the next time we see mul or circumcision is in the 34th chapter of Bereshit. And it's not said by Yah. So this isn't what Yah said, but we have a story where we see Yaakov and his sons debating with the Hittite because one of their sisters was with a Hittite man, and he wanted to marry her. And what happened is Yaakov and his sons, you know, talked with them, and their only requirement was that the Hittites had to all be circumcised, that they would not allow their daughter, his daughter, their sister, to marry into them without all of them being circumcised so that they would be like them. So, again, not Yah saying it, but Yaakov, that was what he viewed as circumcision. Then we find in the 24th verse of the 4th chapter of Shemot Exodus, we see Yahweh willing to kill Moshe because Moshe failed to circumcise his son. You know, Yah admit, you know, taking Moshe out, had done all this with him. He's in the middle of the plagues. This is just prior to the killing of the firstborn. And Moshe has a son and doesn't circumcise him. And Yah is at the point of about to kill him when Moshe's wife comes in and does the job for him. And Yah spares him because of it. So Yah was literally willing to kill Moshe, you know, the scribe of the Torah, because Moshe had not followed through with Yah's instruction to circumcise his son. Then moving on in the 6th chapter, the 12th verse, and then again in the 30th verse, we see, and this isn't speaking necessarily of physical circumcision, but just an idea of how Yah uses the term circumcision, or Moshe in this case. And that is, he refers to his, Moshe had a speech impediment. Some say it was a stutter. You know, we don't know exactly what it was, but he said he wasn't good. He had a thick tongue and couldn't speak very well. And these two occasions, he refers to that speech impediment as being of uncircumcised lips. And, you know, we saw back there, the word here is arel, and we saw some pretty, I want to say, bad or derogatory definitions to arel, which included, if I can bring this up again, being stubborn, unresponsive, untrusting, and unreliant. Yeah, so to have a speech impediment, his, you know, would be to say his lips were stubborn. His lips were unresponsive, unreliable. So, yeah, it is being used by Moshe in a very negative connotation here. Then we get into God speaking of it again in the 12th chapter of Exodus. And for this, we're going to start in chapter 12, verse 43, which reads, "And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and Aharon the prescribed ordinance, the clearly communicated rule regarding passed over, the process of being passed over is for every estranged and foreign child to partake in it. But every servant, co-worker, every individual who chooses to, I'm sorry, I misspoke there, was not for every estranged foreign child to partake. I skipped over the low when I read that, but not to partake. So not for everyone, but every associate, every co-worker, every individual who chooses to be included and adopted. This is going back to kiss that mikvah again, who chooses, who yearns to be purchased at a price, and who is circumcised at that time, he may partake in it and be nourished by it. So if you're circumcised and you really, you're among the children, you know, you want to be a part of Passover, you can. Temporary residents or hired workers are not to partake in it, not to be nourished by it. Inside one's home and with one's family, only amongst one's household, it will provide nourishment. It may be eaten. You shall not go outside of the family and home, taking the flesh, removing the physical body of the sacrificial lamb outside of the family. So the only way to partake in Passover is to be a part of the family. And as we read there, the only way to be a part of the family, the covenant, the family-oriented covenant relationship is to be circumcised. And you shall not break or sell its bones. The entire community and witness of Yisrael shall actively engage, celebrate, and profit from this. Now, keep in mind, a lot of people are going to want to go, oh, well, that's only speaking to Israel. Well, what does Israel mean? It's a compound word of Yish, individuals, who, Sarah, strive and contend with, engage and persist with, are set free and empowered by, El, God. So, if you don't want to be a part of Yisrael, that's your call. As for me, I'm wanting to be a part of Yisrael. What about you?
Oh, yes.
So, and indeed, when a guest who is living with you and the visitor who is from a different place or culture, the ger, a new arrival on the voyage of discovery, who has walked away from his own nation and family, acts upon and actively engages in, thereby celebrating Passover, to approach Yahweh, every male must be circumcised for him to reach this goal and for him to approach and present himself, for him to draw near and be present. Now, the next show we're going to be doing on this is going to be on the topic of Passover. And we're going to learn a lot about Passover and that. But, you know, needless to say, from the basic part of it, Passover is there to rectify the consequence of sin, which is death. So Passover, by benefiting from Passover, is what makes us immortal. And that from that, because without that, the rest of it doesn't matter. If you benefit from matzah without benefiting from Passover, then, you know, you're no longer separated from God, but you're immortal. So you're no longer separated, but it ain't going to last long. So without it, you know, without Passover, matzah isn't all that valuable. And same thing with the Kurim. Being adopted into Yah's family, if it's only for the 20 or 30 years you have left on earth, isn't all that valuable. So, you know, they work together as a cohesive. It's all three of them together which make it really worthwhile. You know, being made eternal, being made perfect, and, you know, being allowed to be reunified with Yah and being adopted into his family. That together is great. Any of them individually, not so great. So, you know, here we are being told, before we can do the first step in that process, which is Passover, you must be circumcised. So that's where circumcision comes in here. And we're going to continue. And then at that time, after being circumcised, he may approach so that he may celebrate, actively engage in, and do this. Act upon, perform, and profit from this. And then he shall be, he shall come to exist, considered the same as a native-born member of the family, grafted and rooted into the land. But anyone who is if that goes back to what we were talking about before, the idea that, you know, this is only for Israel, and, yeah, we're grafted in, we're not native-born, we're not, you know, descendants of Abraham, so this doesn't apply to us. But it says, and then he shall be considered the same as a native-born when he is circumcised. And we have the music coming, so we're going to consider that some more when we return. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. When we left off, we were discussing the Exodus chapter 12 And we just read, I'll read it again. Speaking of, after someone has been circumcised who wants to partake in Passover, it says, and then he shall be considered the same as a native-born member of the family, Ezra, a person who springs from the natural tree with all rights of citizenship of the land. So, you know, we were talking about the idea that people throw around that this is only for Israel. This is only for the descendants of Abraham, and that doesn't matter. But what Yah is saying here is that if you want to be a part of his family, if you want to benefit from Passover, be circumcised, then participate in Passover. And then you're considered the same as a native-born member of the family. You used the term before, grafted in. And, you know, once you're grafted in, you're part of the tree. You know, you're not something separate anymore. And so this goes back to, we're going to read the very next verse coming up. And it's great, it's that there's only one Torah. And this goes back to that. There isn't a Torah for Gentiles and a Torah for Israel. There isn't rules for one group and rules for another group. There's only one set of rules. You know, and because by partaking in the Passover, by choosing to participate in the covenant, we become the same. You know, in every aspect, pretty much, we are identical to members of those descended from Abraham. So we go on to read, though, but anyone who is uncircumcised, he shall not partake in it or be nourished by it. So, yeah, we just get told that if you do this, if you're circumcised and you desire to partake in Passover, which, as we'll learn when we do the show on Passover coming up, is something you really want to do.
You know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll let you finish. Sorry.
No, I was done.
Oh, were you finishing reading the verse, though?
We got a little bit more to go, but go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's interesting. Well, obviously, if you carry it over and thinking what Passover is representing, which I think it's hard for Christians to grasp that sometimes, but Passover and the fulfillments with the Messiah. And so saying that it's that important for you to be circumcised to even partake in Passover, you would think it would also be as important to be circumcised to partake in the fulfillment of Passover.
Well, exactly. You know, you can't benefit, you know, it's not saying just the annual Passover. No, it's saying the Passover. Yeah, you know, to partake in and benefit from the Passover, you must be circumcised. And, you know, a lot of people will point to, that's just for Passover. How come if circumcision is so important, how come he doesn't mention it with the other mikra? And, you know, it's like we just talked about, you know, the other mikra, you know, are really, without Passover, not really that much of a benefit. And so in order to benefit from them, you really have to benefit from Passover. You know, Passover is the first step. You know, we talk about there's a seven-step path to God, and Passover is the first step. It's the, you know, in Yahusha's parlance, it's the door.
And so actually, wouldn't circumcision be the first step?
Well, before, you know, first step is Passover, but before you can pass through the door of Passover, you have to be circumcised. So, yeah, that would technically be the first step. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is also why it's the fifth of the terms and conditions. Before you can benefit from Passover, you have to agree to, come to understand and agree to the five terms and conditions of the covenant. And the fifth is to be, as a male, be circumcised, as a female and male, to circumcise your son. Mm-hmm. So before you can, you know, start down the journey to God, you have to agree, you know, understand and agree to the terms and conditions. And then the one of them that is a physical thing is to be circumcised. And then you can enter the doorway of Passover, celebrate and partake in, be nourished by Passover, and therefore then be partake in matzah, bikurim, seven Sabbaths, trumpet, Yom Kippurim, and shelters. So, but if you're uncircumcised, you cannot participate in it. And then we have, continuing in the verse, we have one of my favorite lines, because this just kind of, to me, puts everything right in, just makes it clear. Only one Torah, only one, Ichad, Torah, shall exist for the naturally born person, native members of the family, and for the visitor from different countries and cultures who live as a guest in your midst. That sums it up right there. We'll continue at the top of the hour.